Hey guys, and welcome back to The Controversial Mom. I'm your host, Emily Jones, and we're going to do a slight detour this week and talk about something that is slightly less political, but I promise you is equally controversial. And it's a topic that, quite frankly, I had not been paying too much attention to because, well, I just didn't think that it applied to us here in Alabama up until about 2 weeks ago. I've heard Charlie Kirk talk about this topic for months, and like I said, I just didn't pay attention because I didn't think that it impacted us here in our area. But about 2 weeks ago, I started seeing headlines pop up again about this Islamic center in Hoover that's trying to get approval for rezoning. And once I saw those headlines for 2 or 3 days, I realized that I had made a very huge mistake in ignoring these conversations with Charlie. So I did the right thing, and I went back and I re-listened to multiple podcasts that he had put out under the heading of the Islamic faith not aligning with Western culture. And I'm not going to lie, I was slightly disturbed by the things that I read following listening to those podcasts. So I listened to several of his podcasts a couple of times, and I took that information and looked at the situation happening in Hoover because I wanted to really know for myself if what's happening in our state actually is a concern to the same level that Charlie had talked about. So let me start by caveating everything that I'm about to say. I am talking about the Islamic faith at a very, very macro level. That's exactly how Charlie talked about it in his podcast, and I've kept everything kind of at that same level just because that's the level of research that he had done or that he talked about in the level of research that I did. So very macro level, not talking about any individual people or individual kind of sects within the Muslim faith, but just at a very top level, what is Islam and how does it not align with Western civilization? So in the podcast that I listened to from Charlie, there are more or less three main points that he made when he said that Islam does not align with Western civilization. And I'm going to kind of stick to those. I'm kind of paraphrasing on a couple of them just because Charlie was so intelligent on the topic. And the average person just doesn't understand it to the level that he did. So I want to kind of stick with those three main topics and then talk about the things that I found here in Alabama and how they directly align and really and truly why that should give all of us pause and make us kind of look at this situation with a lot more scrutiny than maybe we previously had. So the first thing that Charlie talked about was free will. In Western culture, and especially within Christianity, we're a faith and we're a culture of free will. So when I talk about Christianity, what I mean is that it's each individual person's responsibility or choice to be a follower of Christ. I had to make that personal decision through my own free will to follow Jesus Christ. I can't do that for my son, and my son can't do it for me. We each individually have free will to follow Jesus or not. All of us have that. And then thinking in terms of our society and our culture, we all have freedoms. Now, I know the left will tell us that they're all under attack. They're not. Trust me, I did the research. I can tell you, they're not. But we have freedoms. We have rights. We have liberties. And the easiest thing, and I will talk about it in a moment, the easiest thing to point to is how we dress. It's easy for me to say, you know, it's Alabama in the South in the middle of the summer. I'm going to wear a pair of shorts and a tank top and I'm going to go grocery shopping. And that's fine. I can do that. I have the freedom to make that choice. If my son wants to wear his Donald Trump shirt to school, he can do that. He has a right to do that. We have freedoms. If I want to color my hair blue, I can do that. If some evil person wants to attack the teachings of the Bible and wear a shirt that's anti-Jesus, they can do that. They have the freedom to do that. That is the amazing thing about Western civilization. We have all of these freedoms and free choices. You do not have that, again, at a macro level within Islam. So one of the things that I did in my research is I went through and I looked at different organizations really all across Alabama. The first one that I wanted to point out that really highlights the lack of freedom within this faith is one from the Birmingham Islamic Society. Now, I went to these websites. I printed off these documents. I am reading directly from the reports, the files that are on their website. So this is in no shape, form, or fashion my interpretation or insinuations of any kind. This is direct from their website what I am reading. So very factual. The dress code for the Birmingham Islamic Society facility. So essentially, if you go into this, the facilities that this organization owns or manages, this is the dress code that you have to follow or they can remove you. So for men, there's really not a whole lot, I think, that shocks anybody with anything I'm about to read. It was just more or less shocking to see it in black and white. I mean, we've seen people of this faith walking around. There's nothing new to it. It's just seeing it written down, I think, that kind of shocked me. But for men, really the only thing that they kind of restrictive was that they cannot wear clothing that promotes beliefs or ideas that are inconsistent with the Quran. Again, I don't think that's necessarily shocking to any of us. We're pretty familiar with this. But it goes back to the free will thing. If someone wants to wear a shirt, I mean, as evil as it may be, if someone wants to walk into my church with a shirt that says Jesus didn't die on the cross, we're going to bring them in and we're going to talk to them and we're going to help them understand why their shirt's wrong. And we're going to witness to them and help them understand that, well, actually Jesus did die on the cross for your sins, and help bring them around to Christianity through dialogue in a very peaceful and loving way. This organization, they're just going to kick you out. They're not going to tolerate it. They're just going to remove you from the facility because you're in violation of their belief system and their dress code. It's very much our way or the highway. There is no middle ground on this. Then for the women, again, none of this is going to be like super surprising because we've all seen it. It's just seeing it in black and white that kind of, I guess, shocked me that it was this to this level. No skirts above the ankle. When I first read it, I was like, oh, you mean above the knee? No, above the ankle. So, you know, when you're short like me, that means like your skirt's on the ground, because above the ankle is like that much space. You know, it's not even an inch. So you cannot wear a skirt that is above the ankle. No tops that expose cleavage and navel. Look, I am all on board with that. More women need to cover up. Let me just say, modesty has lost its way in this world. We need to bring that back. But also, women cannot wear tops that expose their arms at all. Like, from the wrist to the shoulder, like, there's nothing that can be exposed. Arms, navel, chest must be fully covered. And, of course, nothing that's see-through. So, you can't wear a sheer sleeve on your arm. That's considered exposing your arm. So nothing surprising in any of that. Again, it was just kind of in black and white of literally from your ankle up to your neck, females must be fully covered. This was the interesting one. I guess I kind of knew this, but also had never really paid attention to it. It's the men, male and female interaction. So it says, please be aware that Islamic law prohibits touching of the opposite gender, except in the case of one spouse or close relative. So I've never thought too much about it. You know, in the South, we're very much huggers. We're very much about family and closeness and all of that. In Islamic law, men and women can't hug unless you're married, or, you know, I guess if it's your brother-in-law, maybe you could. But outside of that, like, I was in an event last night and I saw friends that I had not seen in several months. And of course, we see each other and the first thing we do is give each other a big hug. How are you? You know, talk about things. But in their law, men and women can't do that. It does allow somewhat of a handshake if one person initiates it, but I don't know how one initiates it if you're not allowed to touch. Whole another level of confusion on my part, but it was just interesting. So it was very much, this is an organization out of Birmingham. And it very much relates back to what Charlie had talked about regarding free will. There is no free will in this faith because you do not have the freedoms to decide what you're going to wear. You don't have the right or the freedom to question anything within the Quran. Whereas in the Bible, we tell people all the time, question it. Let's prove people right. There's more scientific evidence to prove that the Bible is right. So we welcome questions. You're not allowed to do that in this faith. So it's very much counter to Western culture. The next thing that Charlie talked about was separation of church and state. And I honestly had never truly thought through this topic because it's kind of a weird one for me. We talk about a lot of separation of church and state in our country. And I'm always quick to say, you know, well, it's actually the Establishment Clause. And I go through the whole thing about why it's not separation of church and state, but rather that the state may not establish a church. But in the Muslim faith, there is no separation between the two. Here in our country, there is some separation. I agree with Charlie. There's probably too much of it and has been for quite some time. But there is some level of separation between the church and the state. We don't necessarily encourage or like or allow at this point in time the church to be involved in state matters. Now, I will go on record for saying I think that there needs to be a whole lot more of the church and the state and we wouldn't have all these issues. But that's not today's conversation. The Islamic faith does not allow a separation of the two. And here's kind of what I saw when I did a lot of my research. This issue in Hoover, they're talking about an Islamic center with a playground. Every time these topics came up, it was always Islamic center with a playground. And the wording of it was really odd to me because I couldn't understand why we kept adding on this with a playground. To me, I thought we were talking, because this is the Islamic Academy, I thought we were talking about an educational type thing. So why do we keep adding on with a playground? Typically, when we talk about schools, we just say they're building a school and we assume a playground is associated with it. We don't add that into the verbiage. So what I had to go do is research what is an Islamic center with a playground. And essentially, it is the mosque in the center, and then all these stores that are around it. It's very much what we saw or are seeing in Texas. So if you've not followed those headlines, what was happening was there was this major effort to build an Islamic community. And it was a massive size mosque in the center and then all of these shops that were around it. And it doesn't sound all that odd. I mean, a lot of times we see that in the South. You've got a church and then everything's kind of spread out around it. Where it became really interesting in the Texas situation is in another neighboring area that's heavily Islamic, they had a man going around to all these different shops, not owned by Muslims, and telling the store owners they could no longer sell certain items. I want to say maybe it was a pork product or something. I can't remember the specifics. But the guy was going around and telling them, you can no longer sell that because it's not in alignment with the Islamic faith. So this is what Charlie was talking about, that there's zero separation, is that the Islamic faith dictates what stores could and could not do. Now, this is a major problem for us in the Western culture because we're very much a part of free markets. And for the most part, those of us with some sanity believe in capitalism. So for instance, Netflix, they're in the hot seat again because they're pushing these radical shows for kids that push transgender ideology. Now, obviously, I'm against that. But from a free market standpoint, Netflix fully has the right to do that. It's a free market. They also can suffer the consequences of those choices, as we should exercise that right, and cancel our subscriptions and make them suffer a loss from that, but they absolutely have the choice to put that programming out there. Under Islamic law, they would not have that right, because we all know how intolerant the Islamic faith is when it comes to LGBT. Whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But that's what Charlie was talking about, that there is no separation between church and state in the Islamic faith. Whereas in our culture, in our society, it very much is. We believe in your ability to make free choices in the free market, and then we will exercise our rights as Christians to support or not support you. So that was a really interesting one that I had not thought too much about, and obviously have not experienced any of that. But when I started researching these Islamic centers, that's very much what it is. It is the church in physically in the center of this space, and then all of the merchants around it that would fall under their more or less authority in what they could and could not sell. So that was an interesting one. The last one, and this was a hard one, I think, for me, is the protection of children. So Charlie didn't quite word it that way, but essentially that's what it is. He talked about the story of Aisha, which I had never heard of, but that was, I believe, Muhammad's first wife. It was one of his wives, at least. They were married when she was 6, and he consummated the marriage when she was 9. Now, in Western culture, we absolutely do not stand for that. Again, those of us that are saying, I know there's a massive push to normalize this, but it is not normal, and we do not stand for it. We call all of that pedophilia, and we fight tooth and nail to do that. In the Christian faith, we obviously are very much against that. You know, the Bible is very clear about Jesus' stance on that. You know, you're better to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to harm children. So this is, to me, the biggest clash in everything that Charlie talked about and what we see with this religion is that in our culture, we do everything we possibly can to shield and protect the innocence of children. You know, I've been dealing with this for years with Moms for Liberty, whether it's through the library, whether it's through content we're finding on online libraries in the schools, whether it's the doctor's office, wherever it may be, we're very quick to talk about how we've got to protect the innocence of our children. But when you look at the core tenets of this religion, that's not what they do. They're marrying off 6-year-olds. I don't know. I think Muhammad was 70 when they got married. I can't even remember now. But it was very unnatural. And that's something that our culture never accepts because it is just so unnatural. And we just have to do everything to fight that. I obviously have not found any evidence of that happening in any of these organizations in our state. Thank God I did not find that. But what kind of brought everything back home for me is when I was looking through the different organizations in our state, there was one in particular, and I will read off all the organizations that I found here in a minute. There's the Birmingham Islamic Center. Again, you can go on their website and find this. This is their constitution that I pulled up. And there's multiple sections in it, but it talks about, you know, what is a Muslim? Because they want to define, you know, who it is that they're referring to in all their documents. And it says that a Muslim is one who declares that there is no God worthy of worship except for Allah and then Muhammad. And it goes into a little bit more detail about the Quran and all that. But I think when I read that and then hearing the story that Charlie talked about with Aisha, that was the part that absolutely just struck a nerve with me. Because knowing that they married off a 6-year-old and they consummated a marriage with a 9-year-old, and then the dress code where you're not allowed to question the Quran or Muhammad, to me, that was just the jaw-dropping part in all of it, because that is not who we are as Americans. That's not who we are as Christians. So to know that there are organizations across our state that very much believe that all of this is normal and acceptable and we shouldn't be questioning it was terrifying. And that's why I realized, like, I had to talk about this conversation, as uncomfortable as it is, and as uneducated as I still am about the overall topic, it's something that we have to start talking about, because this is not London, it's not New York, it's not Dearborn, Michigan, it's not Texas, it's none of those places. This is in our state. It's happening. And if we don't start having these conversations and educating ourselves and others, then we're going to turn into those bigger cities, because that is ultimately the goal of the Islamic faith, is to destroy Western civilization. And we know that because they chant death to America all the time. Again, macro level, not talking about individuals. So this is very much not aligned with who we are as a country and as Christians. And we've got to start having more conversations about this and understanding exactly what they stand for, what they're doing, and more importantly, how do we fight back, metaphorically fight back? Because we cannot allow our country to become normalized with these beliefs. It is not who we are. So that is my non-political conversation. I told you it wasn't political, but equally controversial, probably more controversial than the average conversation we have on here. But it's an important one that we all really and truly have got to start getting educated on and figuring out kind of next steps and what we do with that. So I hope that you learned something today. I know that I always learn something when I dig into these topics, and I'll continue to dig into this one because it is that important. As always, if you have questions, let me know. I don't promise to have the answer, but I promise to go dig into it and see what we can learn together. And if you've got other things that you think we need to talk about on here, definitely send them my way because there's a lot going on in the world. I have a list of topics that I want to cover on the show. I just don't know the order in which I'm going to do it. So maybe next week will be more political. Who knows? But I will promise you one thing. It will most definitely be controversial. Thanks, guys, for joining, and we'll see you next week.